On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I discuss some preseason football accolades for certain players, as well as some other exciting news around the football program, and give my takes, thoughts, and rant about Mark Kingston. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 71 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I just want to do a quick reset as we head into the offseason. We are officially in offseason mode. If there are any new listeners, what I mean by that is that I try to keep every episode of this podcast from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes in 1 second, 1801, the founding of USC, to 2001, A Space Odyssey. But it's been a while. I missed y'all. Was off for Memorial Day. Hope y'all had a great Memorial Day weekend with the official kickoff of summer. Like I said, we are officially in off-season mode for USC Athletics. Don't really want to get into why, because baseball is over, but it is officially summer mode where we can put up our feet, kick back with some drinks, and watch every sport as a stress-free fan. So that is kind of nice here. Have a few things to dive into for this episode. But before that, because it is the off-season, you already know that I have my handy-dandy daily Gamecock calendar ready for y'all here. Today, it is actually trivia. So here we go. Name the South Carolina men's tennis player who became the first Gamecock to capture the NCAA individual title to cap off the 2019 season. Oh, gosh. What was his name? I remember this guy. It was Paul Rudd? Was it Paul Rudd? I don't remember, but this kid was electric. He was on fire that year. What's his name here? Bum-ba-da-da. Paul Jubb. So I combined it. It's not Paul Rudd, but it was Jubb. Paul Jubb. How about that? I knew it was that double B alliteration. Shout out Paul Jubb. First NCAA individual title. Electric. So, so electric. But yeah, big shout out. Big shout out to Paul Jubb. It's great. But before I dive into the updates I have here for y'all, want to talk about some football, going to talk about the baseball program a little bit. I did want to give an official ruling as to the schedule change for the summer. I teased this out last episode. Normally, for those of y'all who listen to me on the regular, you know this, but normally it is twice a week, normally Mondays and Fridays. We're going to scale that back just for the next 2 months or so, 2 months and change, for just Fridays. So just one show a week, going to start off your weekend right with an episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, but it'll be nice because it'll recap any news and notes from around South Carolina. Anything that has to relate to South Carolina athletics will be recapped on Friday. I'm going to try to think of some fun, different segments, some maybe silly, goofy, stupid things to talk about. Favorite spots in Columbia, favorite drunk night, food after 5 points, that type deal, because it's the off season. There's just not a whole heck of a lot going on, but you better believe the content will still be coming. So, official ruling, the jury has deliberated and ruled that we are going to once a week. I will make that known a couple times on different episodes and on social media, so have no fear, but going to start your weekend off right regardless here. But now moving into official South Carolina notes here, some exciting, all different types of news here out of the football program. I honestly, going up to this episode, was like, what the heck am I going to talk about? And then the football program decided to give me a little news, which was nice here. So starting off here with, you have some football players here who got some preseason accolades here. Six Gamecocks, in fact, were named to the Lindy's Magazine preseason All-SEC team. Now, Lindy's Magazine, you know, take it or leave it, right? I mean, this isn't the AP. This isn't ESPN. This isn't the coaches' poll. It's Lindy's Magazine. They do a good job of breaking down conferences and teams and whatnot, but they've been on record as having some pretty ass predictions in the past. But regardless, preseason All-SEC team accolades for us. I will absolutely take that. Defensive lineman Zach Pickens, second team. D-back Cam Smith, second team. Wide receiver Josh Van to the third team. Offensive lineman Javon Gwynn, third team. DeCarrion Joyner, third team. And linebacker Brad Johnson, also to the third team. And all these guys are ballers, man. I saw this stat, the quote the other day, that South Carolina has some of the top returning production in the SEC, and it's true. We talked about this when guys like Zach Pickens, Josh Van, decided to come back for another year when they could have left. We talked about how big of a difference that could be. And again, it speaks to the culture that Shane Beamer is starting to create and to a degree has already created, that guys wanted to come back, that they felt that they could get better under this coaching staff, and they wanted to contribute to potentially something special this upcoming year. So shout out to all these guys. I'm sure that when it's all said and done after this year, we're going to have more than six guys who landed an All-SEC team. But it's really cool to see. And when you look at the variety of positions here, you got three levels of defense. You got two levels of offense, essentially. And to carry on, he's just an athlete at this point. So it's incredible to see. And like I said, I am willing to bet a lot of money that come the end of this season, we have more than six guys with an All-SEC team next to their name. But speaking of this upcoming season, guess who's back? Back again. No, it's not Voldemort. It's Jalen Brooks. Jalen Brooks, folks. Wide receiver who was away from the team for more or less undisclosed reasons. Was away from the team. Missed the bowl game. Last game or so. Like, he is back. And it was incredible. I mean, it was reported by a couple of different people, confirmed by a couple of different people, and I'm excited, man. You know, I think this kid deserves another chance with this team, with this staff. Again, don't really know what happened in the first place, but he is a great piece for depth purposes for this team right now. You know, when you remember when Jalen was going through the whole transfer process two seasons ago, I believe it was, we were asking the world of him, and we thought that he could come in and be a savior, and he was coming from a very, very small school, a D2 school, if I'm not mistaken. And I think last year, we had hoped he would step up and be that number one or number two alongside Josh Van. And Josh Van took a greater step than I think a lot of us thought he would. And Jalen Brooks, he had some moments, but I think it was just that we were just so thin, and Jalen had a tendency to drop some balls every now and then, and he was just getting blanketed. So now, when you bring him in as a depth piece, with this wide receiver room that is night and day of what it was last year, essentially going to be asking him to do less, right? You don't have to be this world beater. You don't have to put an SEC team on your shoulders. Come in. Do your thing. You have some skills. He's made some incredible catches. Decent route runner. Perfect depth piece, right? And that's going to make everybody in that room better, too. There's a guy here who has some SEC experience, you know? Juice Wells, a lot of us are really excited for him. He doesn't have SEC experience. So now he has to step up his game even more, competing with a Jalen Brooks. And again, the job that Justin Stepp and Shane Beamer have done for this wide receiving room is incredible. It's night and day of last year. And I think the starters and the second stringers, it's going to be much, much improved. And it's going to help everybody. I think sometimes last year our wideouts were just gassed. And if a guy made a bonehead play or a bad drop, maybe wasn't having a great game, you had to keep him in there because you had no one else to take his place. Well, now, if you have someone who isn't having a good game, or you got to take him out to get his head back in the game, you can replace that person with Jalen Brooks. Perfect. Landon Sampson. Great. Amarian Brown. Perfect. That's how you build more consistency on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm ecstatic for it. So welcome back, Jalen Brooks. Good to see you. Wish you nothing but the best. And then, as we are watching Jalen Brooks and company and this improved Gamecocks team next year, you will be doing so under brand new LED lights. LED lights were installed at Willie B. You're going to also have these wraparound ribbon boards along the inside of the stadium. And the much awaited, the much needed improvements for the sound system are all coming as well. So the LED lights, the kind that can change color, the kind that can sync to music, those are already installed. The ribbon boards and the sound system are coming in the next month or so, to my understanding. So it's going to be an absolutely electric factory on the field come this season and seasons past. We've already seen some of this atmosphere at, you know, stadiums in the SEC. Also Notre Dame, I think, has them. And it's just hype. And it's the new age college football. It's an arms race. You got to have the best facilities, the best freaking lights at the stadium. But it's awesome. Willie B's already a great home environment, home field advantage. It's going to be even harder right now. And then not only will your experience be better watching the game, getting around the stadium is going to be improved as well. Some improvements to the main concourse, as well as making some elevators more accessible, were also in the works. Now, these plans had been approved for the last year or so, but they were finally getting underway. They're finally going to be finished for this upcoming season, and it's great. And it's just great to see the investments now going inside the stadium. The university did an incredible job of making the outside of the stadium so, so nice, so fan-friendly, with Gamecock Park and then all the bricks around Willie B., the various statues, the trees, the benches. It's just a beautiful game day atmosphere. And now to see those same resources being put inside the stadium and improving the concourse, making it wider, reducing lines, all that jazz. It's incredible. And I would assume that that's going to apply to other parts of the stadium as well, one concourse at a time. And it's great. You know, Willie B forever. I love Willie B. But if you're saying we can make her even better, I'm all for it. So it's super, super incredible. Cannot wait to be back in Willie B next year. It's going to be absolutely electric. So we started on a high note there. You like how I have this build up here? I started y'all off high. Improvements to Willie B. We're talking all SEC football players. It's nice because I got to bring you back down to reality here with the most recent update from South Carolina Athletics regarding the most recent season that we all had and all were following the baseball program. And the biggest news out of the baseball program is that Mark Kingston is to be retained. The news was broke by a reporter, and then it was confirmed by several others, and he's to be retained. And I said that after the season ended, we all just had to wait and see what was going to happen. There were a lot of rumors that he would, in fact, stay when you had just about every fan kind of on the same page, which is really rare, where we wanted him out. But he's staying. And I don't even know where to begin with this one, y'all. I don't like the move. I think that missing the regionals, missing the NCAA postseason twice in his, what, five-year tenure, more or less, is crazy. That just doesn't happen at South Carolina. You know, I've said it a lot that we have a standard that we hold our baseball program to. We have the South Carolina standard where we don't want to say we're just some of the best in the SEC. We're some of the best in the nation. And Mark Kingston has not shown at all that he is that. You want to hold our program to it. We want to hold our players to it. But Mark Hingston has not. We are at the bottom of the SEC in batting average since he's been here. The bottom. We've had injuries, guys who were just not geared up to go. We've had guys who aren't developing like you would expect them to. We've had questionable pitching decisions, when to pitch guys, when to leave guys in, when to take guys out. You know, he carries a smaller roster in the preseason, and it's just, I don't think it's it, man. And I hate to bring up the team from the upstate, but the team from the upstate, they fired Monty Lee, who had a better overall winning percentage in his tenure than Mark Kingston currently does. They still fired him because they saw that in the last 2 years, they were going in a downward trajectory and they were not accepting it. That's what South Carolina needed to do with Mark Kingston. It's been clear that this team, his teams rather, just underperform and they do not live up to their potential. I just don't get it. And there's nothing that we can do about it, right? We can sit here and stamp our feet and say, what the hell are we doing? But it just is what it is. And, you know, Ray Tanner has to be the guy that takes the brunt of this, right? I don't know if it's the Board of Trustees and that whole conundrum. I don't know if there's other people in the athletic department who want to keep Kingston. I don't know if it's a budget issue. I don't believe that, but Ray Tanner is the guy. He's the face of the athletic department, and he won 2 national championships for the South Carolina baseball program. You would think that if he was going to hold any program to a ridiculously high standard, his standard, you would think it would be the baseball team, and you would think that guys would not be given, guys, Mark Kingston would not be given the leeway that he has been given. I named him King's Done towards the end of the year, and it's still King's Done. I'm done with this guy. And I don't know what it's going to take to change my mind. You know, I mean, if he gets to a regionals, that's great. But that's where you should have been getting all along. You're kind of just getting the floor. You know what I mean? We shouldn't celebrate hitting the floor of expectations. You need to be exceeding those. It's like in football where I say the minimum expectation at a school like South Carolina needs to be getting to a bowl game. You don't want to settle for going to a bowl game, but that's something that you better not miss ever. Missing out on a regionals is something that should not ever happen at the University of South Carolina. So I don't know what Kingston has to do, but he needs to hit the portal hard again and find a guy like Brant Belk, find multiple guys like Brant Belk, guys who are in the transfer portal, who have good experience and can rake. Bring a couple of guys like that in. Then he needs to do something in the way of having more guys prepared to step up. If there's an injury or a guy just doesn't have it, the plan doesn't go how you want. Do have something where guys are more ramped up and ready to go and step into those spots. He needs to build more bullpen depth. He needs to build more starters depth. So he has his work cut out for him. And I think it's safe to say that one more poor season and he's gone. But we have to deal with another season of Mark Kingston. And I don't like that. And it stinks, and we have to just deal with it. But I'm not proud that he's coming back. I don't think it's okay, but it is what it is, right? But with that being said, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Whew, got a lot off my chest there. But please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen it to. Reminder again, moving just to one day a week now for the summer months, next 2 months and change, give or take one show a month. But I will see y'all on the flip side. Go Cox.